we're grafted into the sun. On the road,
on the road to Jerusalem.
Sing shalom,
sing shalom in the promised land. We will pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Silent. We're born for such a time as this.
So let your light shine in the darkness,
and the love of God be manifest. Can you hear Yeshua calling? The voice of Elohim. The Spirit of God has come upon us. This is our destiny. On the road,
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 the Holy One of Israel.
Heart to heart and hand in hand.
To the promised land, Yeshua the Messiah. Now we are one,
together in the fear of the Lord.
The fear of the Lord.
On the road to Jerusalem,
sing shalom,
sing shalom in the promised land. We will pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Turn it down.
Test 1, 2. Buckle my shoe.
3, 4, shut the door. 5, 6, pick up sticks. 7, 8, don't be late. My stuff's there. I'll be alright. I'll just. Can you hear me good in the house? Okay, is it too loud in the house? Just, that's good for a sermon? All right, let's hear it. I don't have it in the monitor. But then the monitor's not plugged in. Beep! Okay, are we live streaming? Okay, shalom, everybody. Shalom, this is Rabbi Joe. Welcome to Ar Yehuda, Lion of Judah Messianic Synagogue. We're glad to have you with us today. Sorry we're getting a little bit of a late start today. It's been a sleepy Saturday morning with rain and weather in the 50s. I feel like I'm in England today. So anyway, we're going to have a great service, and we're going to worship the Lord. And we're glad you're with us today. And this is Rabbi Joe and Rebbetzin Don. And there's Wendell in the corner. And there's Wendell with the peach shirt. The guy with the peach shirt. The Georgia peach. So we're going to start our worship here in a second. And there's Mr. Anthony Cody right there. Case he's a friend, he's a deep, distant relative of Wild Bill Cody. You never know what he's going to do during the service. Anything could happen with Anthony Cody. You know, he could pull out a six-shooter. You just don't know what to expect. So I'm going to turn this.
Shabbat shalom.
Joy, the Sabbath of Israel.
Praise the Lord. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derecha Yeshua b'Mashiach. Yeshua, amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah, Yeshua. Amen.
Where you dwell, and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Vishamru, page 46 in your Siddur or on the screen. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'asot et ha-shabbat le'dorotam berit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'asot et ha-shabbat le'dorotam berit olam. B'nei Israel, Odi Leolam. B'shamru, B'nei Israel, Et HaShabbat, La'asot Et HaShabbat, Le'dorotam Berit Olam. Kishet yamim asa Adonai et hashamayim v'et haaretz. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'asot et ha-shabbat le'dorotam berit olam. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'asot et ha-shabbat le'dorotam berit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed.
And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen.
Pray for Jerusalem.
heads. Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem in this year of Jubilee. Hallelujah. Abba, we thank you, Lord, for restoration. Thank you for the restoration of Israel. This is the year of Jubilee, Lord, of 1967 to 2017, Lord, 50th anniversary of the reunification of East and West Jerusalem, Lord, of the recapturing of the Sinai and the Golan Heights, Lord, of you giving back the land to your people, Lord, restoring the land, even though they gave some of it back. They kept Jerusalem, Lord, thank God. So we just praise you, Lord, for the restoration of Israel, Lord. We thank you for this year of Jubilee, Lord, this year of restoration. I proclaim restoration among the people of Israel, that you remove the scales from their eyes, Lord, that you set the captives free, that you release the prisoners, that you bind the brokenhearted, that you heal the lame, Lord, and that you proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and open the eyes of the blind. Thank you, Lord, that you save your people Israel and reveal your son to them, Lord. I pray, Lord, for the leadership of our movement, the Messianic movement, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would give them anointed vision and power and lead them in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, Lord, that you would give us strong leadership, Lord, and that seeks you and knows, hears your voice, and that when you say, this is the way, walk ye in it, and that they would walk in your way in paths of righteousness, Lord. Help them to do justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly before the Lord their God. I pray for all the rabbis today, Lord. I pray, Lord, you bless them in their services. You anoint them with powerful words for their people. I bind fear and fear of man, that they would preach boldly, not fearing reproach or people, Lord, but that they would preach the truth in love. I pray also, Lord, for the rabbis who are sick, Lord. I pray for the rabbi in Paris. I don't know his name, but he's had open-heart surgery the other day, and I just pray for his health. I thank you that Rabbi David Schneier is there with him and ministering to him, and he's the one who set him up. And we just thank you, Lord, that you ordained that trip for David to be in Paris when this rabbi was getting surgery. Pray for Greg Hirschberg, Lord, in Israel. We pray for his recovery from his back fall, his fall, and that he's able to lead his tour in Israel, Lord. And we just pray for Greg. He's had a rough year. And that you heal him, Lord. Pray for all the rabbis that need healing, Lord. Pray for my friend Jeff Adler, that you strengthen him and heal him from his heart surgery, help him to walk miles, not just hundreds of feet, but miles, and help him to restore the function in his heart to full range, Lord. Restore his heart function into full range. Pray also for our computer guy, Gary Levin, that you would heal Gary's heart, Lord, and restore function. But also, Lord, we pray for Gary's salvation, Lord. He doesn't know you. That Yeshua, that Jesus is the Son of God, that you died for our sins, that you were buried for 3 days and three nights, and that you rose from the dead on the third day, conquering the power of sin and death, and that you are our Passover lamb. You are our Redeemer. Passover is about redemption, and you are our Redeemer, and our Redeemer lives. Amen. Our Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. Save your people, Lord. Save mom. Save my family, Lord. I pray for my mom, my sisters, and my brother and their families, Lord. Open their eyes to the gospel, Lord. My cousins in California, those who they've all read books on the gospel, many of them, have opened their eyes to it, Lord. And all the Jewish people in this country, Lord, just begin to reveal yourself. Pour out that spirit of grace and supplication that they would see you and mourn for you as a father mourns for an only child. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
And what are we doing now? Servant of the Lord. And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength.
Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that they may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house, upon your gates.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. I'm going to ask Mr. Charlie if he would come and open the ark, and ask William and Wendell if they would carry the Torah today.
No.
kamocha ve'elim Adonai ve'en kemasecha maltucha machu kol amim u'memshaltecha b'chol dor v'dor Adonai melech Adonai malach Adonai imlok le'olam v'ed Adonai oz le'mo yitain Adonai yivarech et amo v'shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace.
ben Soharom Ve'me'me'moshe Kurna Adonai Yifutsu oivecha V'yenusu misanecha Mipanecha Ki mitzion Tetzeh Torah Ki mitzion Tetzeh Torah Udevar Adonai Mi'Yerushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael Bikdushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel.
Amen. I want to welcome folks at home. This is Rabbi Joe and Rebbetzin Don here at our Yehuda Messianic Synagogue in Bristol, Virginia, and Tennessee. We are right on the border, and we welcome you. Let us know you're watching, where you are. We'd love to hear from you. Is our website, is our email on the website?
Yes, there's a contact us button. So you've got to do is contact and then send us a little email.
Yeah, just let us know you're watching. Let us know if you like it. I'll be like that guy Sean Hannity who says, you know, say anything you like.
Comments, all comments are welcome.
We want to hear from you. But we're glad you're with us today. We're going to go to the Lord's table in a little while. So if you want to join us at the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord, just prepare yourself some matzah or some crackers and bread and some juice or fruit of the vine, whatever your tradition is. And prepare yourself to join us, okay? We're glad you're here. And we're glad you're here. And everybody in the house.
And you can join us for anything else, too. I mean, you can blow the shofar and run around like we do here. All your neighbors are going to wonder what you're doing. But, you know.
Go out in the yard, blow the shofar, and run around your house 7 times. And see if your neighbor's walls fall down, okay? Try that. And then let us know. Seriously, though, if you're looking for a Messianic synagogue and you're in the Tri-Cities area, come and join us.
Amen.
If you're far away and you don't have a Messianic synagogue, you're welcome to hang with us on the internet. But Shabbat Shalom. Yeah. Shabbat Shalom, everyone else.
Yeah, I'm out.
Amen. Okay, shall we? It's time for Anthony Cody, that descendant of Wild Bill Cody I told you about. Yamod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch et Adonai Hamora.
Baruch Adonai Hamrachel Hamvaed.
Baruch Adonai Hamrachel Hamvaed.
Baruch et Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher bachar banu mikol hamim. Venatan lanu et torto. Baruch et Adonai Noten haTorah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah.
Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
You may be seated now.
Okay, we start a new book today, Vayikra, which is Leviticus. It's the center of the Torah. And it's got two bookends on either side that help hold it up. You know, if you studied scriptures very much, and especially Yeshua, you'll know that he spoke mostly from the book of Leviticus. That was the book that he chose most of the time. And Leviticus to the Torah is just like I think Hebrews is to the New Covenant. Sort of you find a lot of rich things there within it. But, you know, if you look around, most people do not study the book of Leviticus, because there's several reasons why. It has a lot to do about the tabernacle. A lot of people don't like all that going over about all the different things that went into the tabernacle. And it also involves the sacrifice system that God put in place that's been around for many centuries. It's no longer practiced today, But in Israel, they have filed a petition to offer to do sacrifice for Passover. They have done this several years in a row, and each year it gets pulled at the last minute. They want to do a sacrifice of lamb on the Temple Mount. So, you know, it has 40% of the 613 mitzvahs are found within this one book. And, of course, if you look at the Torah, you'll know that it is eternal and timeless. Everything within the confines of the Torah plays into today's time and things that are going on into the world today. It's how the Torah tells us how we are to live our lives after we have accepted Yeshua as our personal Messiah. It is the map, the road map, the plan that tells us. And Yeshua is the target of the Torah. He's what God is trying to lead us to. And it's different than all the other books because it talks about the sacrifice, which is called Korban, which means to draw near. It's the opportunity. Sacrifice was not only about sacrificing an animal or offering a meal or some type of incense offering. It was an opportunity for the person to draw near to God in a form of worship. And you know, Vayikra is in Greek, is of course it's translated to Leviticus, but it means lev, which is heart in Hebrew. So it comes from the heart of the Torah, which any Torah of the books that you see, you will see Yeshua is in the book. The book is all about him. So when he spoke out of Leviticus, he was speaking about himself. You know, presently about the sacrifice system, it hasn't been done since the temple was restored in 70 AD. That was the last, because the sacrifices all occurred on the Temple Mount where the temple was, except for the one sacrifice, and that was the Paraduma, which was the red heifer. That's the only one that wasn't sacrificed within the confines of the temple. She was sacrificed outside the temple walls in a different part. But, you know, presently, if you keep in touch with the things going on in Israel, you'll find out that they already have about 500 to 600 Levite priests have been trained and are ready to perform sacrifice once the third temple has been created. So they have the blueprints, everything's in place for the third temple to be erected. And if you look at Vayikra in Hebrew, you'll see that it begins with the small letter, and that's God telling us that through the sacrifice, he's still that small voice to draw close to him. And you know, with Moses never went to God himself. God always summoned Moses, as we see today with this Torah portion. It means, Vayikra means, and he called, meaning God called to Moses. And you know, there are other instances that God spoke to Moses and called him. Of course, was the burning bush, and at Mount Sinai when he ascended to get the Ten Commandments and the things about the tabernacle. And he also spoke to him from the tabernacle once God went into the tabernacle. If you look at the sacrifice system that you find in the book Leviticus, you'll find we talked about a little bit this morning in the class before Shabbat, there was five basic types of sacrifice, and I won't spend a lot of time on them, but the first one was Olah, which was the burn. There was three sacrifices that were voluntary offered. You did not, it was not a requirement. The last two were a requirement from God that you would bring a sacrifice. These first three, the Olah, the Minka, and the Shalim, were all sacrifices that was the person was voluntarily offering a sacrifice. The first three was a form of worship to draw close to God. And the Olah was the one that was the burnt offering. You know, if you look at Yeshua, you see he offered his whole body upon as a sacrifice for us. So the Olah is a picture of him this morning, because the burnt offering was totally burnt upon the altar. Nothing was removed and eaten. It was totally burned. And then you have the Minka was the offering of the flour and the fine flour, the oil and the frankincense. Excuse me, my voice is sort of going this morning. But if you look at the flour, the pureness of the flour represented the sinless life that Yeshua led. And the oil would be like the Holy Spirit and the comfort. And the frankincense, which was a very expensive incense that was used, it told us about the joy and the fragrance of his life. You see, Yeshua was born in Bethlehem, which is Bethlehem, which means the house of bread in Hebrew. But Bethlehem, I did a little research here a while back and found out that Bethlehem also has a second name, and it's Migdal Ador, which means it is the watchtower over the anointed flock of Israel. That is where the angels appeared to the shepherds at the birth of Yeshua, that the Messiah had been born, because those shepherds, I feel, were connected to the temple because of the fact that Bethlehem is the watchtower over the lambs. And then the shalim was the peace offering. There the fat, the blood, and the kidneys were removed, and it was burnt on the altar also. And the right shoulder and breast were removed for eating. And it was a time of fellowship because people joined in, and that's why it's called a shalim or peace. It was a sacrifice of fellowship. So the sacrifices weren't all about just killing something. A lot of them pertain to being in fellowship with family, friends, and the Kohen and the priests would all partake. So it was a time of peace and enjoyment. And the fellowship especially was between man and also with God as it was offered. And the sin offering, the hutat, that was where the bull would be sacrificed and burned. And it's a picture of the paradumah that would have been taken out of the gates of Jerusalem. The asham, which, you know, follows with Yom Kippur, the blood and the fat of the ram was burnt on the altar. What was interesting about the sacrifice is when you brought an animal to be sacrificed, you had to put your hands on the animal and you had to confess the sin that you had, or sins that you had committed. It's the exact picture of redemption. We must publicly and personally confess our sins to God to receive Yeshua and to have his blood put upon our hearts, that we can, that we sin not and keep him in our life, because he died for our sins and our transgressions. You know, the asham was an interesting sacrifice in the fact that God required a fifth portion be added to the sacrifice. There was a price that was placed upon the sacrifice of 20% that you had to pay in addition to bringing the animal for sacrifice. And if you remember about Yeshua, his sacrifice was paid for with a price of his life. And of course, he was purchased just like a lamb at the to be slaughtered later. He was purchased by the pieces of silver when he was betrayed. That was a purchase for his life, really. And then there's additional sacrifices that I won't get into, but you know, I guess the thing to really remember this morning is the sacrifices were all sealed with salt. And it's like your food. Salt adds flavor or essence to the food. If you don't put salt, it's very bland. And so were the sacrifices. God required a little bit of salt be put upon them to seal the offering. And remember this morning that sin is what separates us from the Heavenly Father. We cannot stand in his presence with sin. We have to profess those sins as they did with the sacrifice. And so we, as an example, I think this morning, we have to every day sacrifice ourselves to be sinless for that day and go forth to serve him and to live in the world that is covered with sin today. Shabbat Shalom.
Torah, Asher Samoshe, Lifnei Bnei Yisrael, Alpi Adonai, Biyad Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Thank you.
wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her. And all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Just have a few announcements before we continue with our worship. Message, Rabbi's message will be coming in a little bit, so stay tuned. Probably another 30 minutes or so. If you're online, we'll be going to the message of the Lord. Amen? Yeah. And the word of the Lord.
And just one thing, our messages are archived, so you can go back and watch. If you see a title that interests you, you can go back, you can fast forward and rewind and all kinds of good stuff like that. Somebody was doing that, I saw on Facebook, and they posted it, and somebody had gone back to a message and posted part of it and said, told people they could, actually they posted the whole message, but they said you can fast forward to the message, and they, there's a lot of, you have a lot of flexibility with our website.
We can do things we couldn't 5 years ago. So technology, and we're not even up to date. We're pretty much behind the power curve there, but we're trying to keep up. So stay with us. We will get there. Just a few short things. I did mention them in your bulletin already. Passover banquet, of course, is coming up Saturday, April 15th. So I think many of you in the congregation, quite a few, have not gotten your tickets. There are sign-up forms. There's forms out there on the table and on the back table. So get your tickets in. Of course, if you're part of our congregation and you need help with getting your tickets, we don't want you to stay behind because of that. So please let me know if you need help. We can help. We can help, okay? But if you can, do it. It's $35 for adults, $18 for children 6 to 12, and $8 for 5 years and under. Of course, you can also buy a table for $325, and that's a $25 discount. And a lot of people are doing that. I'm getting lots of tables in where people actually, that's their ministry, and they're inviting friends to come and experience the Passover, and maybe you'd like to do that as well. So consider bringing a table, and all you've got to do if you're watching online is to click on the banquet registration link, and that'll take you right into the registration. You can take care of it right there in 5 minutes. So we are filling up, and we're not full. We got plenty of space, but we are filling, and we've got probably about 150 people signed up so far. So we're going to have a nice group. I'm sure it'll go over 200, probably 250. Usually the last week really fills up. But I want you to go ahead and get your stuff in, because our deadline is next Sunday. So I really need to know if you're coming by next Sunday. Okay? And also, those of you who are in the congregation, we had a meeting last week and talked about all the jobs and everything that's going to take place that week before. So we've got really 2 weeks. We've got this week, and then the next week, we've got 2 weeks before Passover. Am I right? 2 weeks. So just keep that in mind, 2 weeks. And that week before the banquet, there's a lot of things to do. You can just show up. You don't have to get a call from me. We're going to have Thursday night work evening here at the synagogue over in the fellowship hall, putting together food and books and gathering all our things. And Friday night we'll be up at the hall at the Holiday Inn getting everything organized and set up. And then Saturday we'll do a lot of the remaining setup starting around 12 o'clock in the room up there. So any of that time, if you can show up and just be there, we'll have things to do. Okay? Anything else about Passover I need to mention? Did I get it all? Okay.
Well, I just want to praise the Lord. He's provided at least $3,500 to $4,000 to underwrite the Passover and pay for the cost of, you know, the sound and the matzah. I mean, you think about if you have 30 tables, that's like 30 boxes of matzah. That's not cheap, you know, and that's just the matzah. You got to have all the stuff that goes on the Seder plates, the eggs and the apples and the horseradish and the, you know, and you add it all up and the flowers and this and that and paying the hotel, paying the taxes, paying all these things. It really adds up, and the hotel's not cheap. But the good thing is, you know, it saves you and me a lot of work, because we don't have to set up tables, sweep the floors. They even hang the banners for us, which is really cool. That's really cool. And so we can get out of there. You know, we finish up, and we're out of there in 45 minutes to an hour. We're gone. And people leave. But it's a great night. And I'm excited, too, because Marty Goetz is coming on June 2nd, and Marty Goetz, that's Shavuot weekend. So I think what we should do is have a Shavuot festival here instead of having a banquet somewhere out, you know, have a Shavuot weekend here with Marty Goetz and have a, you know, maybe we can rent a tent or something and celebrate Shavuot here that weekend. What do you all think? Well, think about that. Let's pray about it. But I feel that God sent Marty Goetz on Shavuot. He was actually supposed to come last fall, but he had heart surgery. And his wife called me and rescheduled to June 2nd, which is Shavuot weekend, I believe. And it's very exciting. So, you know, the Lord said that those are the three pilgrim feasts that we're supposed to celebrate, unleavened bread, Passover, and which is the same holiday essentially, and then Shavuot, Pentecost, and then Sukkot. So I'm excited. We'll start planning for our Shavuot, our Pentecost with Marty Goetz, and it's gonna be great. Next week we have Igor Barbanel coming. Igor is the chief of station of Jews for Jesus in the Ukraine. As you know, Russia invaded the Ukraine about a year and a half ago, and there's a lot of neo-Nazism. There's a lot of it's the largest Messianic congregations in the world are in the Ukraine. The largest Messianic congregation in the world is in the Ukraine. Thousands of people, and it's interesting, but they have persecution there, and you know, you have Ukrainian persecution against Jews, and then you have the Russians coming. It's like, okay, time to get out of Ukraine, folks. Go back to Israel. But anyway, we're going to meet Igor Barbanel is coming, and his wife, Galina, and so I'm excited about that. Next weekend, they're coming to share right from the Ukraine. They're flying over. So should be interesting. And so come, bring a friend. If you know any Ukrainians or Russian folks, bring them. Tell them, let them know to come to our service. And I will be speaking a little bit next week as well. But Miss Dawn,
amen. So I'll send out an email about Igor and his wife Galina. So please bring friends. Let's have a nice crowd here next weekend. It's going to be nice service before Passover, and a great
time. Corey Bell and Lev Shalow.
So Lev Shalow and Corey Bell is going to be April 29th. That's after, 2 weeks after the Passover. So we keep you guys all hopping, right? Never. We keep the Tri-Cities, you know, with plenty of Messianic music and art to come to, yeah, and visit and understand. So
you know, I have this theory that every messianic singer has like an alter ego in the world. Like Joel Chernoff was like the Johnny Cash of messianic music, and you know, like the Jewish man in black. And I'm serious, you know.
Do you think he'd like that?
I've told him that. I've said that to him. And you know, Marty Goetz is like the Barry Manilow of messianic music, you know. And Corey Bell is, to me, is kind of like the Melissa Etheridge. She's like the Melissa Etheridge of Messi. You know, listen to her. Listen to Corey Bell. She's a beautiful voice. Oh, there's no comparison. Don't get me wrong. I mean, in the Lord, they're just far more beautiful. But you know, check her out though. She's edgy, but she's also her music is beautiful. She's famous in the messianic world. She's just never been here, and she's coming to you. So please bring friends. Let's fill this place up. She's really as famous as Ted Pierce in the messianic world, but she lives in California, and she's never been here to Bristol. So because of that, people don't know her as well. They know Ted Pierce, they know Paul Wilbur, they know Marty Goetz. But look up Corey Bell on YouTube, and Lev Shalow is the name of the band, I guess. But they are really awesome, and come from L.A. and it's gonna be we're not gonna be Don and I won't be here. We're gonna miss it. I've been wanting to meet this woman for like 8, 6, 7 years, and we have to be at a conference in Florida that weekend. But you're gonna have a great time. Hope you film it.
All right. So praise the Lord. Keep all those dates on your calendar. And one other thing I just want to say, we have Oneg today, but we need to have a meeting about Oneg, because we've not been getting quite enough money to do the dinners, you know, one person coming and fixing a dinner for everyone, and we haven't been getting enough to actually do that. And it's also been very taxing on Charlie to get all the food and make sure it's all taken care of. So we're going to switch it up a little bit. But today, people have brought some things for lunch, I think. But so come join us afterwards. We're going to have a meeting about what we're going to do for Oneg going forward, and I'll let you know about that, okay? And also, I do want to say that we will be having our membership ceremony induction probably, I'm thinking, on Shavuot. We've done that before, and it's a very nice time to have it. So we will probably do it Shavuot or thereabouts, somewhere around there. So please keep that in mind. And that's all the announcements I have, Rabbi. So let's continue with our worship.
By the way, I spoke with Jacob, Eddie, for some of those of you who know Eddie Toller, I spoke with his mom last night. He's in Mountain Home he's at the hospital. He's in the for vets with emotional issues, and want to keep him in your prayers. He really needs our prayers. He's not doing well, his mother said. I had a long, long conversation with his mother last night. He's a sweet guy. Eddie's been with us for 2 to 3 years, very faithful. He's been a major supporter of this ministry, tremendous supporter. And he just comes, and he's very quiet, big guy. For those of you who don't know him, he's a big guy with kind of like a crew cut, and drives a pickup truck. And he was a captain in the Air Force, and he went back and joined the Army for Desert Storm, or went to Iraq or something. Rejoined again, you know. And anyway, we just want to keep Eddie in your prayers. He's really struggling right now. Let's prepare to bring our tithes and offerings. And if you're at home and you want to support our ministry, there's a donate button on our website if you want to give. You need a place to support a congregation, you can give online. And let's pray. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and before we take our offering. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to give. and to sow into your work, to give of the fruits of our labor, Lord, into your kingdom. And we thank you, Lord, that I've learned this. You can't outgive God. Amen. You cannot outgive God. So I've seen miracles from you so many times, Lord, miracles. And I thank you for the miracle yesterday as my son was choking on a vitamin and having great distress. And he swallowed a large, chewable adult vitamin about the size of a four quarters. He tried to swallow it and got stuck in his throat. And I had to take him to the urgent care. Then I had to take him to the emergency room. And, you know, it was not what we needed the day before Shabbat, getting ready for Shabbat. But the good news was, it was not good news, but it was they discovered that he had a heart murmur. So pray for Isaac. They diagnosed him with a systolic heart murmur yesterday. And a lot of people say, well, that's not a big deal. But Isaac's an athlete. He's a varsity football player, and it can be an issue when you're really a high level athlete. So please pray for Isaac. But Lord, bless the offering, bless the givers, and bless the gift. Return a hundredfold as we bring our offerings to you, Lord. We thank you for your intervention in our lives. We thank you that our Redeemer lives. He is the Lamb who was led to the slaughter.
Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, he did not even open his mouth. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the sins of my people he was laid. But she at the shore,
Jesus is Lord. Oh, Mashiach Yeshua.
Say this together. Hine.
Hine.
Go.
Go.
Aleinu.
Elenu.
Hi.
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 All right. That means behold our Redeemer lives, okay? We're going to sing it, and I want you to sing it back to me. Wendell's going to help me. He's going to do the echo, okay? So you follow with him. We're going to say, Hine go Elenu hi. Let's say it again. Hine.
Hine.
Go.
Go.
Elenu.
Elenu.
Hi.
Hi.
All right, you guys are doing great. Here we go.
Let us be gathered in Jerusalem.
bless him this morning as he blessed you.
Hallelujah, Lord.
We bless you this morning.
Yes, hallelujah.
We bless you this morning.
Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Peri HaGafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Amotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. On the night Yeshua was betrayed, it was Passover, he took the third cup of the Passover meal and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin." That same Passover night, Yeshua took the afikomen, the middle layer of three pieces of unleavened bread, of matzah, and he just broke it in small pieces and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Hallelujah. We invite all believers to come to the Lord's table. You don't have to be a member of a church or a member of a congregation. You just have to be a believer. You have to be a member of the body of Messiah, the body of Christ. And that's all that we require of you to partake. So let's bow our heads for a moment, though. We just sang a song about the Redeemer. What's that song, Don? What's it called?
Blessed Redeemer?
No, you just sang a song about the Redeemer.
That's cool.
There is a Redeemer. There is a Redeemer, yeah. Thank you. There is a Redeemer. Who is the Redeemer?
Yeshua.
Yeshua, Jesus, right? Yeshua is the Redeemer. And Passover, we just talked about Passover. Passover is all about redemption. The heart of Passover is redemption. Always was, always will be. Passover is about God sending a Redeemer. Amen and amen. And Yeshua is the Redeemer, right? Right, Brooke? Amen. Brooke's with me on that. Chan, are we in agreement? Yeshua? He's the Redeemer. All right. So here's the question. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Is there anyone here today that does not have Yeshua as their Redeemer? If you're here today or you're watching at home and you don't know Yeshua as your Redeemer, with all eyes closed and all heads bowed, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you if you're not sure who the Redeemer is. If you don't know the Redeemer, raise your hand and I'll pray with you. Because we all need a Redeemer. We all need a personal Passover lamb. You know, the Bible says, Exodus 12, that every family was to have a lamb. Everybody had a lamb, you know. They all had a piece of the lamb. Some people want a piece of the rock. We want a piece of the lamb. He is the rock, too. Hallelujah. If you don't know the Lamb of God, if you don't know the Redeemer, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. And if you don't know at home who the Redeemer is, all you have to do is just say to God, "God, I want to know the Redeemer. I want to know Yeshua. Reveal him to me. Forgive my sins. I've made mistakes. Come into my life. Be my Redeemer. Cleanse me by your blood, the blood of the Passover Lamb, Yeshua, Jesus. And write my name in your book of life forever." You can just pray that prayer or something like it. Ask God to be your Redeemer, to wash you in the blood, cleanse you of your sin, forgive your mistakes, and put your name in his book of life forever and ever. And I believe if you do it with a sincere heart that you will be among the redeemed. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to ask Margaret and Brenda, would you like to serve today? Okay, Margaret, would you like to come and serve? All right, Margaret and Brenda, come and just prepare your hearts to come to the table of the Lord. It's a good time to get right with God if you have unconfessed sin, to get right with the Lord, and as you come to His table, receive His grace. Receive His grace as you come to His table, Lord. God bless you as you come. Amen.
Thank you.
Here we go. L'chaim b'Yeshua. To life in Yeshua. Amen. You would train them up in the way that they should go, that when they're old they will not depart from it. We pray, Lord, for their success in life, that you would show them the path, the way that they are to walk in. Help them to hear your voice, not to turn to the left or the right, but to hear your voice say, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Pray, Lord, that you would anoint their ears to hear the word today as they go to class. And we pray that you would just help them to receive the word, bring forth a hundredfold return from the seed that is sown, and anoint their teachers as they share the word of God boldly and proclaim the gospel to the children today. We just thank you for the kids who are here. We thank you for Brooke and Dominic and is it Joseph? And I'm sorry, and your daughter is Crystal? Christina, and Joshua, and Isaac, and the baby, and hallelujah, and Chandler and Anna. We just thank you, Lord, and for all the kids. And thank you for Billy and Xavier, and all the kids who aren't here today. We bless them, and pray that you be with them today, Lord. Bring them back to us, and thank you. And in Yeshua's name, I want to pray. I want to pray for Dominic because his stomach is hurting him. So we're going to anoint him with oil. He's having stomach pain. So Lord, we just pray, we just anoint Dominic for healing. Your word says, if there be any sick among us, Lord, you say to go to the elders of the congregation and anoint with oil, and the sick will be healed, and the sick will be healed. I pray that you just heal this young man, take his pain in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, our Messiah, Lord, from his head to his toes, Lord. Take the pain in his stomach. Just take the pain in his stomach, Lord, whatever it is. Just take that pain. If it's sickness, Lord, we just bind the spirit of infirmity. We cast it out. In the name of Yeshua, we cast out any spirit of infirmity, any sickness. If there's anything else, Lord, we just pray that you shine a light and reveal what's causing it, and reveal him, heal him, Lord. Reveal it and heal it. Reveal it and heal it. Right now, in the name of Yeshua, Lord, take it. Take the pain. Take the whatever's troubling him, Lord. We just bind you in the name of Yeshua. Spirit of infirmity, get your claws off him. Get your claws out of him, out of Dominic. Right now, we command this sickness to go in the name of Yeshua. We command you to go right now in the name of Yeshua. In the name of Yeshua. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Abby, would you like us to pray for you? Huh? No? Yeah? Okay. You want to tell me what's going on, honey? Nothing with your health?
No, I have been sick, yeah.
What's the matter? They said you had a cyst that ruptured?
It ruptured.
Uh-huh.
And I'm bleeding inside my stomach.
And what can they do for it? Anything?
Not really. They said I got healed on it. They gave me some pain medicine for the pain.
Okay.
That's all they can do.
Is it going away?
It ain't going away now.
That's good. We've been praying for you.
Yeah.
Lord, we just pray for Abby, Lord, that you just continue the healing that you began. Your word says you are faithful to complete the good work that you began in us, and we've been praying for her for 2 weeks now, Lord. And we thank you that she's getting better, that you complete the healing from her head to her feet and her stomach, Lord, where the cyst, where it burst, that you heal it, Lord, and absorb any blood or any fluids into her body. Lord, let there be no repercussions. In the name of Yeshua, Lord, just heal her. Heal her body from her head to her feet, Lord. Nothing broken, nothing lost. In the name of Yeshua, we anoint her. In the name of Yeshua, just touch Abby. And she spoke about personal things in her life. Lord, you know what they are. You know what's going on in her life. And we just pray that you fix those things. Set things in order for her. And we ask in Yeshua's name, set her house in order. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Pray for Aja. She never misses. She's sick. She's coughing.
Okay, you want to stand in for her?
Yeah.
She's really sick. Lord, we just pray for Aja. Father, we just pray that you take this sickness from her, Lord, and we just bind it in the name of Yeshua. We bind this cold. Pray, we bind pneumonia and bronchitis, Lord. We just pray that you heal Aja. Take the sickness from her, Lord, and strengthen her. Heal her body, Lord. Restore her to health, Lord, we pray. Restore her to health in the name of Yeshua, Lord. We pray. Restore Aja to health. Take the sickness from her body, Lord. Bring her back to us. Strengthen her. Strengthen her body and rejuvenate her. Heal Aja. And we thank you that Brenda stands in for her and stands in her place. Take this sickness, Lord, and bring Aja back to us, we pray. In Yeshua's name, right now, Lord, right now. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, John. Okay. I'm good. Okay. Okay. Let's pray. I want to give a praise report. It's good to see Steve Graham and Justin, right? My friend on Facebook, Justin. Not my friend Steve, my friend Justin on Facebook. And Steve is my phone friend. Still waiting on you there, Steve. I got a ceiling fan to put in, too. It's piling up, man. The work is piling up. I'm telling you. But it's good to have the Grahams with us today. Do we have any other visitors with us today? Any first-timers or anybody? What's your name, ma'am? Gloria? Claudia. And what's your last name? Hallberg. Claudia Hallberg. And where are you from, Claudia? Okay, de donde? Colombia. Okay, qué bueno. Yo hablo español, pero no he ido a Colombia. Tengo que ir. A lo mejor. Bienvenidos. I said welcome, and I said I've never been to Colombia, but I have to go someday. Here it's a beautiful country. I actually have a very close friend, Gladys Jaramillo. And she's from Colombia. She's a very dear friend of our family. But so we welcome you. Everybody, let's give a round of applause for Claudia. Let's pray for the word. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today and for your anointing, Lord. Let your word and your anointing go forth in the name of Yeshua. Thank you for this message on Jubilee. And we just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing and in the spirit world, Lord, in the spirit world. And the world doesn't understand. The unbelievers, they don't get it. But the believers, they need to get it. Some get it and some need to get it. So help people to understand what you're doing in the spirit realm. In Yeshua's name, we bind the enemy. We bind the enemy in Yeshua's name. Amen. Well, I want to just say what inspired me to speak, do a message on Jubilee. I was at a meeting the other day. I was at a lunch meeting earlier in the week, and there was a coal company, a big coal company. Starts with an A, and they went bankrupt. They were the third biggest coal company in the United States, maybe in the world, and they went bankrupt about 4 years ago, and thousands of people lost their jobs, and it just was a mess. All the regulations on the coal industry and all the fines just put them out of business. All the government regulations in the last 8 years put the coal industry, pretty much killed the coal industry, almost killed it. And they came out of bankruptcy, and they're doing like, I don't know, $50 to $100 million a year producing coal, and they're selling it mostly to other countries. They have 2,700 employees, and they're getting back on track. And the president of the company came and spoke to us, and the word that came to me was restoration. God just spoke to me. He said, I'm restoring in these 8 years what was, it's been destroyed, not just in the last 8 years, but even in years before. We've been in America, not just in the last 8 years, but for many years, since the 60s and probably even parts of the 70s, we have been living off sort of, instead of walking in the grace of God and the freedom and the abundance and the blessings of the Lord, we've been walking on them and using them and taking advantage of the goodness of God to the point where we've become poor spiritually, materially. We've lost jobs have left the country, people have become poor. our school, our education system is not in the top in the world anymore. We're I don't know where we are. Our medical, is not in the, you know, that's debatable, but you know, our medical system is not in the tops in the world anymore. Our education system, and it's hard to get jobs. I mean, if you don't have a graduate degree today, if you have just an undergraduate degree, if you have a high school diploma, forget it. I mean, you're basically working in McDonald's, or you know, you're working minimum wage. If you have a high school diploma, that's about, unless you get a job as like a plumber or an electrician, a trade. If you get a trade with a high school degree, you know, you may do well. But if you don't have a trade, then you're going to be basically, working for minimum wage, $8, $9, $10 an hour. You're going to be a laborer. Amen? Am I right? You'll be working for Wendell. You'll be working for the guy with the peach shirt there in the second row. So if you need a job and you just have a high school diploma, just see Wendell. Okay? He's hiring. I may ask him for a job. Because I have a bachelor's degree. I did do 2 years of law school, and I did go through rabbinical seminary, but I guess I'm a rabbi. So, but I never graduated law school. I kept hearing law, but God was really saying Torah, Torah, Torah. You know, it's funny. You know, our life. You know, yesterday, I was all set to go to the office. You know, Friday's my day of preparation. I get my sermon ready. I study. I pray. You know, I'm like, I'm going to get out of the house early today. I'm going to, you know, I'm getting rolling. Man, if I get out of the house before 10 o'clock in the morning is, you know, after, you know, that's big. That's big for me. And I was about 9:30 in the morning. I was about to head out the door and head to the office and spend the whole day in the office studying and praying and getting ready for today. And then, you know, Isaac was sick, and my son, and he had a cold. And so he took some vitamins on his own, and then I gave him a multivitamin. But it was a chewable. It was an adult chewable vitamin about the size of 4 quarters. And he tried to swallow it instead of just chewing it. He tried to swallow it. Well, it got stuck in his throat, and the poor kid, he was in distress. I mean, thank God he could breathe. And I just went to pray, and I got down on my knees. I was praying for him because he was in terrible distress, but he was breathing. And I just try to get it, try to throw it up, you know. Sent him to the bathroom and try to throw it up. And I was just on my knees in prayer, calling out to the Lord for him. And he was just, even though he could breathe, he was in great distress. So I took him to the urgent care, and they said, go to the ER. We can't get it out. They're going to need to take it out of his chest. And, you know, so I went to the ER and called Dawn, and she met me out there. And, you know, my day, I was, was not going the way I planned it. And I was a little ticked off by the whole thing, but then they discovered in examining him, I said, would you check him out, you know, for strep? Because he has a tendency to get strep throat. And sometimes he doesn't feel it. He gets it, but he doesn't feel it. And they examined him, and they checked his heart, and the doctor says, he has a heart murmur. Did you know that? And I said, no, we didn't know that. And he said he has a systolic heart murmur. Well, Isaac's a football. He's a varsity football player, and he plays basketball. He plays hard, you know. And a lot of people on Facebook, when I asked for prayer, said, you know, I've had a heart murmur for 30, 40 years, whatever. But these are people who don't play contact sports, you know. And when you're playing, when you're running sprints and you're carrying guys on your back, that's what you do in football practice. You'll carry a 180-pound guy on your back up and down the field, you know, and then, you know, he'll carry you, and you'll crash into each other and do all kinds of things in 85, 90-degree weather. It's brutal, and you're running sprints with full pads and uniforms on, and you know, and that's tough on your heart, and it strengthens your heart if your heart's healthy. But anyway, so I really don't know much about a systolic. I don't know much about it. A systolic. I thank God that, in spite of everything, all the trouble that happened yesterday, I said, God, thank you for showing us, revealing this problem. This, you know, because you want to. Obviously, you reveal it because you want to heal it. Amen. He revealed it because he wants to heal it. He doesn't want to take Isaac out, right? So he revealed it, but it was through a situation of great distress. I was like, God, couldn't he just be going for a regular physical and find out? You know, it have to be a trip to the emergency room on a Friday when I'm getting ready for services? You know, far be it from me to question you, O Lord, but perchance, could it have been another day, another way? But anyway, that's the way God chose to do it. So here we are. And, he gave me a word. And in Leviticus chapter 25, Isaac's all right, by the way. He just has to have some tests and have some scans. But please keep him in your prayers. And by the way, how's Dominic feeling? Yeah, where is he now? Okay. Amen. But he was feeling a little better? Okay. All right, well, let's start. In Leviticus chapter 25, the Lord instructed Moses about the year of Jubilee. God said, "And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement ye shall make the trumpet sound throughout all your land." And there's two kinds of trumpets that could sound the Jubilee. One was the silver trumpet, the long silver cornet that the priests would use. The other trumpet was the shofar. This is one I picked up in Israel this winter. And this is a shofar, a ram's horn. And so, "Then shalt thou cause the trumpet to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month," which is the Day of Atonement. "In the Day of Atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family." And I'll stop there. We will further discuss the Jubilee year, but I want to point out that 2017 is the 50th, or the Jubilee year, of the reunification of East and West Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. On June 7th, 1967, Israel reunified, basically the Jordanians who were inhabiting East Jerusalem dropped everything. They were so scared of the Israelis that they dropped everything and fled. Israelis didn't even have to push them out. They just fled. They dropped everything and took barely the clothes on their back, and they fled into Jordan. And and Israel took back not only East Jerusalem, Israel took back the West Bank and the Sinai Peninsula and the Golan Heights. And that was restoration. You see, we'll talk about that more, but that was restoration. Okay, I'm going to hit that one again. But so we're talking, it's the 50th year of the reunification of Jerusalem. Now, so many, including myself, are proclaiming this a year of Jubilee, and I'll explain why. In fact, not just a year of Jubilee, but a season of Jubilee. We've entered a season of Jubilee, of restoration. And what is Jubilee? Well, Jubilee comes from the Hebrew word Yobel, and the word for Joseph in Hebrew is Yosef. Okay, the word for Joseph, which is my first name, Joseph, is Yosef. And why isn't it Joseph? Why is it Yosef? Because there's no J in Hebrew. So, therefore, to say Joe in Hebrew, you'd say yo. Same in Spanish, you'd say yo. You know, to say Joe in Spanish would be yo. And then in Hebrew, it would be yo. So yo is Joe in Hebrew. And so anytime you see Yosef, you know, or you know, God shall increase is the name Yosef. Yo is God's nickname, Joe. So God's nickname is Joe, all right? It's also my nickname. Joe is my the short form of my name. And since there's no J in Hebrew, the way you would say Yobel in English would be Jobel. Therefore, I should be an expert at teaching about Jubilee, since my name means Jubilee. Okay? Isn't that pretty cool? My name, Jobel, means Jubilee. And that's just my short name. But the word Jubilee means the long continuous blast of the trumpet or the shofar. Everybody say that. The long continuous blast of the trumpet or the shofar. So let me do that for you. That is somewhat of a Jubilee blast, okay? I'm sure somebody could do it better than me, but it's the long, continuous blast of the trumpet or shofar, okay? This is a ram's horn shofar. This is what they, kind of instrument that they marched around Jericho 7 times, and they blew it, and the walls came down. This was Gideon's trumpet, and this is the kind of instrument that will be blown, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Messiah will arise, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together in the air to meet the Lord, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. This is the instrument. Blessed are you who hear it, says the psalmist. It's in the Psalm 80s somewhere. Blessed are you who hear the sound of this instrument. Why? Because when God blows it, you'll know what to listen for. Although it'll be much louder. A lot of people have been hearing it on the internet, and you can go on the internet and actually Google on YouTube. You can search for the shofar blowing in the heavenlies. People have been hearing the shofar all around the world. They've been hearing shofars in the sky. It's interesting. I haven't experienced it myself, but that doesn't mean it's not happening. Okay, so it was to be blown on the Day of Atonement, and it's the long continuous blast of the shofar. Now notice this, on the 10th day of the 7th month, listen to these words, on the 50th year after taking possession of the land of Israel, Leviticus 25:2. When was the year of Jubilee? 50 years after the children of Israel took possession of the land. Now some argue that they didn't really take possession. It took them 14 years, Joshua, to conquer the land. So some argue that it's 50 years from the first 14. You know, that it was, and some argue that it was just 50 years from when they took possession of the land. It's debatable. Some would argue that the Jubilee was 1998, because that's 50 years from 1948 when Israel became a state. However, when Israel became a state, they didn't take possession of all Jerusalem. So it took them, you know, it took them till 1967, from 1948, it took them 19 years to really take possession of the land. Amen? So I believe that we count the Jubilee from 1967 more than 1948, because to me it's when Jerusalem was whole, and now Jerusalem is whole. It's all Israel, you know. Even though Arabs live there in East Jerusalem, Israelis control the land. Okay, so that's important. It's 50 years after the possession is taken of the land. The only difference between the Jubilee year and the sabbatical year mentioned in Deuteronomy 15 And so there was always a sabbatical year. And let's turn to Deuteronomy 15 for a second. There's only one difference between the sabbatical year and the year of Jubilee. Okay. Chapter 15. At the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a remission of debts. You ever heard of bankruptcy? That's where we get the term, the idea for bankruptcy comes from the remission of debts after 7 years. If you have gone into bankruptcy and you, your credit's ruined and all, you owe a debt, and the whole idea of bankruptcy is to relieve you of the debt. But not only that, after 7 years, your credit is restored. After 7 years from bankruptcy, your credit is restored. And you can get credit again. Maybe not as good as you had before, but you can start all over again. You get a fresh start. Everybody say, get a fresh start. Fresh start after 7 years. That's the whole idea of bankruptcy, and not encouraging people to go into bankruptcy, but that's where it comes from. Okay? Verse 2, this is the manner of remission. Every creditor shall release what he has loaned to his neighbor. He shall not exact it of his neighbor and his brother, because the Lord's remission has been proclaimed. So all the Israelites, children of Israel, were to release the debts of their neighbors and of their brothers, their fellow Israelites. They were to release their debts after 7 years. So you didn't want to do a 30-year loan. So from a foreigner you may exact it. You could still charge a foreigner their debt after 7 years, but not your brother. But your hand shall release what is yours, what of yours is with your brother. However, there shall be no poor among you, since the Lord will surely bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance to possess. It is only if only you listen obediently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and do which I'm commanding you today. So if you keep God's commandments, everybody will prosper. And God wanted, to bless and prosper everybody. And he didn't want anybody to be in servitude and bondage. The whole point of the sabbatical year was to free people and free them from debt. And for the Lord your God shall bless you as he has promised. And so I won't read any more from that chapter, but we'll talk more about the year of Jubilee. So so the only difference between the Jubilee year and the sabbatical year mentioned in Deuteronomy 15 is that the Jubilee year, all real estate reverted back to the family that originally possessed it. So what does that mean? That means that Israel, in the Jubilee, we're going to see now in the Jubilee, God will restore Israel, and all the land promised to the children of Israel will be restored to the children of Israel. All the land that God promised, and we're going to look at that a little bit later. Due to the expulsion from the land, it appears that the Jews lost track of the year of Jubilee, dating back to the 50th year after they initially took possession of the land. However, we know that in 1967, modern Israel took possession of East Jerusalem, uniting East and West Jerusalem, the Sinai Desert, and the West Bank, and the Golan Heights were all acquired by Israel as the spoils of war. And For me, the matter rests heavily on the fact that it was 50 years ago this June 7th that Israel recaptured East Jerusalem from the Jordanians, thus making the nation whole and in Israeli possession. Let's talk about the spirit of Jubilee. According to the Brit Chadashah, the New Testament, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. 2 Corinthians 3:6. So we don't live by the letter of the law. We live by the spirit, right? So in a spiritual sense, Jubilee is predictive of the outpouring of the Ruach HaKodesh, of the Holy Spirit, on Shavuot, Pentecost. Leviticus 23:15 tells us to count seven Sabbaths from the Sabbath at Passover to the morrow after the Sabbath, at Pentecost Sunday for Christians, Shavuot for Jews, should always be on a Sunday, just as the Passover of Moses was pointing to the Lamb of God. Okay, so let's think about Passover of Moses for a moment. Let's think about that. It was pointing with physical lamb's blood on the doorposts of their homes, and God physically delivered the children of Israel from slavery to Pharaoh. But in a spiritual sense, we apply the blood of Yeshua to the doorposts of our hearts, and God delivers us from slavery and bondage to sin. When we believe in Yeshua and the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, amen, then we are delivered from slavery. We come out of the Egypt of sin. Amen? So that's our spiritual deliverance. So in the same way, Jubilee, although it's predictive of there is a day and a physical fulfillment day of Jubilee, just like there is Passover. However, there's a spiritual way of looking at it. We're going to talk more about that, okay? So, just as the Passover of Moses was pointing to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, so the Jubilee of Moses was pointing to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and its indwelling in the hearts of men beginning on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. Just as lambs were sacrificed on and off for some 1,400 years, from Moses to Jesus at Passover, Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the Torah." In the same way, Zechariah 12:10 says, "And I will pour upon the house of David." So just as Moses was predictive, the Passover of Moses, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant Passover, was predictive of the Passover of Yeshua, of Jesus, the Last Supper. In the same way, the Jubilee of Moses, the year of Jubilee, was predictive of Acts chapter 2, of the day of Pentecost. Amen? But God's not finished yet. There's still more to the picture. We'll talk about it. Okay? But Zechariah 12:10 says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they've pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." Amen. So what's that saying? It's saying that God has not completed the Jubilee yet, because he has not poured out that spirit of grace and supplication on Jerusalem yet. He hasn't poured it out in such a way that the whole city, all the people in Jerusalem and Judah, will look upon him whom they've pierced as a father mourns for an only son. And that day is coming. The fulfillment of Jubilee will come when the Jewish people's eyes are opened in large numbers. Romans 11 says, if the transgression of my people brought riches to the world and to the Gentiles, what will their fulfillment be but greater riches? Greater riches. Greater riches. See what your Bible says in Romans 11. It says, if the transgression of my people, the Jewish people, brought riches to the world, how much more, it says, will their fulfillment? So if it brought riches to the Gentiles, to the world, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin rejected the Messiah, how much more riches will our fulfillment bring? That should interest Christians. Christians should be very interested in the salvation of Jews. They should really be interested in it. There will not be world revival until the Jews accept the Messiah. And all this talk of revival and all these meetings and all these, these little revivals here and outbreaks here and there are just nothing compared to the world revival that's coming when Yeshua, when the Jewish people return. And if you got, as a Christian, if you got riches when the Messiah, when the Jews rejected the Messiah, you got the Bible, the barbarians, uncircumcised heathens and Gentiles got the Bible, they got eternal life, they got salvation through Jesus Christ, they got forgiveness of sins, they got a relationship with God, purpose-driven life, all these wonderful things, you know, direction in life. It's wonderful to actually be able to talk to the creator of the universe and have him answer your questions and give you direction. Amen? But the Bible says when the Jewish people come in their fullness, how much more riches? We can't even imagine. We can't even imagine, Wendell, what the Lord has in store when the Jews, when the fullness of the Jews comes in. All right. Just as so, the fulfillment of Jubilee will come when the Jewish people's eyes are open in large numbers. I said that. Did God send a man named Trump? Here's a question. Did God send a man named Trump to bring a time of Jubilee for Israel and for America? I said, what does Jubilee mean? It means the long, continuous blast of the trumpet. Did God send a guy whose name is Trump? There's no coincidences. In the year of Jubilee, did God send... There's no coincidences in the Bible. I don't believe in coincidences. How many of you believe in coincidences? Nobody. Joseph does. Okay, that's cool, man. That's all right. It's all right. But he's a funny guy. He's a comedian. All right, a real comedian. Everybody needs a comedian now, all right? Seriously. It's not an accident that God sent a man named Trump to bring a time of Jubilee for Israel and for America. There are no coincidences with God. In this 50th year since the reunification of Jerusalem, America received a president named Trump. Hello? I mean, what do you want God to do? Hand it to you on a silver platter? And the spiritual opposition to this president is so off the charts. The spiritual opposition to this president is so demonic and so off the wall and it's out of control that people, in the world and the news media, they can't understand it. People don't understand why this guy is getting so much opposition. It's because people hate God. They don't really hate Trump. People used to love Trump. He had the best, most number one show for like 14 years on television. People wore his neckties. People bought his real estate. And he was like, Mr. Tycoon, Mr. Businessman, right? The most famous businessman in the world, probably. Donald Trump. Trump Airlines had, Trump Plane. Trump Tower and Trump this and Trump that. I mean, he was a celebrity, right? Always had, beautiful ladies on his arm, different wife every 3 years. And they hate his guts now. All his old friends can't stand him. Why? Because God picked him to be the president of the United States, and he finally found his calling in life, and he's actually walking in his God-given calling as the leader of the free world. And the sound of this instrument, which sounds beautiful, to the ears of a believer, sounds like screeching. Sounds like a cat scratching. What would a cat scratch on what surface that would make a really... on a chalkboard. Cat scratching on a chalkboard. To the ears of an unbeliever, this instrument sounds like a cat scratching on a chalkboard. To the ears of a believer, it's beautiful, right? Amen? It's a shrill instrument. It's not a pleasant instrument to hear. It's an instrument that makes you, woo. I'll never forget somebody, my friend, Brother Gene Steins, died a year ago yesterday. And he used to get up every morning about 5:30 in the morning. I was told I did actually spend a night with him. I went to Washington, D.C. with him about 8 years ago. And me and this guy, Josh Stapleton, and we roomed with Brother Steins. Brother Steins had 16 stents in his heart. He had more stents in his heart than any other person in the world. He had the record for stents, 16 stents. And he lived about, 12 years with all those stents in his heart? And he lived about 12 years. He used to go to McDonald's for breakfast every day, eat probably his sausage biscuit or whatever, his Egg McMuffin and his coffee. And he had 16 stents in his heart. And he lived to be about 80 years old? About 80 years old, 81. And he died a year ago yesterday, a walking miracle, amazing man of faith, had cancer, had poison just oozing out of his back. He had cancer in his back, and he was determined to be healed. He went up in the woods on a mountain. He was a country boy from Carter County, and he just went up on a mountain with his cancer. And he said, I'm not coming down till God heals me. He went up in the woods and got down on his face before God and fasted and prayed and would not leave until God healed the cancer. God healed him. God healed the cancer. He came down that mountain healed. So I went to Washington, D.C. with him. He was telling us all these stories. And we went to this, we were going to a conference. And I roomed with him and this guy, Josh Stapleton, a young man younger than me. And me and Josh are in bed, and we're sleeping away, thinking we're going to get up about 8 o'clock, 7:30, and get breakfast and go to the conference. 5:30 in the morning, Brother Steins goes into the bathroom, grabs one of these things. And start shouting, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, praise you, I love you, Jesus. And he's shouting at the top of his lungs, and we're in the Days Inn in the hotel. The guy next door starts screaming and cursing through the wall. People upstairs start shuffling around. I jumped out of my bed like you ever see one of those the cartoons where the animal gets startled and he like jumps to the ceiling, I literally jumped off the bed. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know where I was. It's 5:30 in the morning. I'm in a strange bedroom and me and Josh Stapleton are flying up in the air. What just happened? It was Brother Steins in the bathroom praising the Lord and blowing his shofar. And what? And forgiving everybody. Yeah, God bless the man. I tell you, he had no shame, no sense of shame. Being ashamed. He wasn't ashamed of Jesus. So going back to my question, did God send a man named Trump to bring a time of jubilee? There are no coincidences with God. In this 50th year since the reunification of Jerusalem, America received a president named Trump. Trump is an old English word for trumpet. Yobel, or jubilee, literally means the long continuous blast of the trumpet or shofar. The sound of the trump is shrill, piercing to the unbeliever. It is very annoying. We were in Egypt many years ago, and several people in our group gathered on the beach at the Red Sea, and we were in Egypt, with Egyptians, okay, not Israelis, Egypt. And we're on the Red Sea, Don and I, and we're with a tour group, and we were down about 40 miles south of Eilat in Egypt. And Don and I were swimming with Egyptians. There were about 25 Egyptians in the water swimming with us at the beach at the hotel. And then this group of shofar blowers who was on our tour were Christians. And they decided to come down to the beach and blow their shofars in Egypt. Oh, my God. Oh, boy. I told you about cats scratching on the chalkboard. The Egyptians were not happy to hear the sound of the shofar And these guys, about six of them lined up, six or seven of them lined up blowing their shofars. And Don and I were like, we dunked our heads under the water. You know, it's like, I don't know those people. You know, we didn't want them to say hi to us, you know. So, you know, I said, oh my God, they're going to kill us. They're going to kill us. It's over, Don. You know, this is it. It was nice knowing you. Needless to say, the Egyptians were not pleased. I wanted to bury my head in the sand. Thank God they didn't do anything to us. In the same way, Donald Trump's promises and tweets are either music in the ears of some and like a fork scraping a china dish to others. Is Trump a jubilee to God's people and to Israel? Well, looking at the elements of jubilee, he promises to defeat radical Islam and ISIS and break the deal with Iran. There are already 10,000 U.S. troops in Iraq and Syria. Thousands more than the previous administration. Israel is building in places God promised us, the Jews, but the UN and the world call occupied territory. But Israel is building under this administration, and nobody's stopping them. Trump isn't trying to... Obama tried to stop them. The UN tried to sanction them, and still is. But Trump isn't stopping Israel from building in the so-called settlements. Israel is quietly taking back the land that God gave Israel. God is restoring Israel as I speak. As I speak, God is restoring the land of Israel. Jubilee. All right? That's what Jubilee is. That's part of it. And so let's go on. Okay. God, I predict and have predicted that the current war with radical Islam in the Middle East will increase and that the U.S. and Israel will take territory. In fact, some Arab countries have threatened to go to war with Israel if Trump moves the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. In other words, if Trump moves the embassy to Jerusalem, Jordan, Egypt, and some other, and I'm sure, you know, Hamas and Hezbollah, they've threatened war against Israel. As soon as the embassy moves to Jerusalem, because that means the peace process is over, and the Arabs want some Arabs want to go to war with Israel. Okay, what's going to happen? Well, Israel, if they thought Israel was tough in 1967 when they kicked, when 240,000 Israelis, 100,000 active troops, kicked the butts of about a million or more Arab soldiers from about 15 Arab nations and their tanks and their airplanes and destroyed them and took the Golan Heights, took the West Bank, took the Sinai, and took East Jerusalem. If they think Israel was tough in 67, man, you don't know how, you ought to see how tough Israel is today. If you think Israel had weapons and good warriors in 67, you would be blown away by the technology that Israel has today. Israel can knock every Arab country and probably 20 more into the Stone Age. And basically, an Israeli colonel told me, we have the capacity to turn the Middle East into glass. Well, the Middle East is mostly a desert. So, and you make glass out of sand. So, Israel and high heat. To make glass, you take the stuff, whatever it is you make glass with, and you put it in a furnace that's very, very hot. And this colonel in the Israeli Air Force told me, Israel has the capacity to turn the Middle East into glass. Okay? So Israel was recently threatened by Syria. Israel they destroyed a weapons convoy coming from Iran, and Syria foolishly shot off some anti-aircraft missiles. Israel knocked them out of the sky, and the Israeli defense minister promptly informed the Syrians, if you ever shoot a missile at us again, we will knock out every single air defense system you have in your country that you call Syria. We'll destroy your defensive missile your defensive missile capabilities completely. Wow. I mean, you know, shoot one more rocket at us and we'll bust your face, buddy. We'll bust you up. Okay. So needless to say, and is Trump a jubilee to God's people in Israel? Well, I predict and have predicted, as I said, that the current war with radical Islam and with the Middle East will increase, that the U.S. and Israel will take territory. There's going to be, we're in a war, okay, with Islam, radical Islam. We are in a war right now. We've just sent 10,000 troops there now. The war is growing with radical Islam. Trump's promised to destroy ISIS and all of radical Islam. He said that at his inaugural speech. He said he will eradicate radical Islam. He said he would do that in his inaugural address. The war is not necessarily a conventional war. There are cell groups. Not every Islamic terrorist wears a uniform. They don't all drive around in Humvees and tanks. It's a clandestine war. It's a guerrilla war. It's not a conventional war. But we're in a war, guys. You know that? You guys want a pillow? We're in war! And it's not going to go away until we finish it. All right? So, I predict, and I have predicted, the current war with radical Islam in the Middle East will increase. The U.S. and Israel will take territory. Israel will be attacked by these countries. And just like they did in 1967, Israel will take back perhaps Jordan, perhaps the land God promised all the way to the Tigris and Euphrates, perhaps the Sinai, perhaps Syria or parts of Syria, perhaps Iraq, as I said, parts of Iraq, which God promised Abraham in Genesis 15. In fact, some Arab countries have threatened to go to war with Israel if Trump moves the U.S. embassy. I said that this would be a perfect scenario for Israel to take back more territory, including the Sinai, Jordan, and parts of Iraq, all the way to the Tigris and Euphrates River, which God promised to Israel in Genesis 15:18, that the land of Israel would extend to the Tigris and Euphrates and all the way to the Brook of Egypt. He promised that Israel's land would be that large, okay? If you support Israel, that is jubilee. Restoration of the land to the ones God gave it to the world, it would be a horrible act of aggression and completely intolerable. But nobody will be able to stop it while Trump is in power. It is after Trump is gone that Israel will have to be concerned. And Gog and Magog scenarios could arise. Once Trump is gone, then Israel is going to have to be concerned about the consequences of you know, what happens in the next 8 years. Okay? They need to think about that. You know, what will happen when Trump's gone? Because they're gonna kick some butt these next 8 years. But when I was a kid, I always had a big guy as a protector, you know. Like Wendell. Wendell's my bodyguard. Praise the Lord. God is my bodyguard. But God uses Wendell sometimes. But I always, when I was a little kid, I made friends with, like, you know, the tough guys in school. And I grew up in Boston, so everybody used to like to punch people in the face, punch people in the nose, punch people in the chest. It was just everybody liked to fight. It was a lot of fighting growing up. Where I grew up, and I was suspended 11 times in 7th grade for fighting. Boston is a very tough place. I'm telling you, it is a tough place to grow up, and thank God it's not like that here. Because, man, I grew up fighting, you know. I can remember 4th grade. Okay, I'll meet you out on the playground. Man. And I'd say I won about 70%, lost about 30%. Maybe a little high. Maybe I won more. I don't know. But maybe 75. But I did lose some. Anyway, it wasn't fun. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I don't get no respect. So, likewise, in the spirit of Jubilee, the Jewish people must return to Israel from the west. We must go back. Jubilee. All the Jews from the nations must return to the land. That's Jubilee. All the Jewish people must go back who are willing to go. God's not going to make them. In Isaiah, Ezekiel 20, verse 33, he says, "With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and with wrath poured out, I will be king over you, says the Lord. I will gather you from the nations where I've scattered you, and I'll bring you into the countries, into the wilderness of the peoples," like here, the wilderness, "and I'll enter into judgment with you face to face. And I'll plead with you," King James says, "I'll plead with you." What will he plead with the Jewish people in the wilderness when he takes them out of the cities? The gospel. "And I will bring you into the bond of the covenant," says the Lord. The new covenant. I will share the gospel with you. I'll plead with you. Accept my son. Receive my son. "And I will, but I will purge the rebels." He says, "I will purge the rebels from your midst, and they shall not enter my land." So anybody who rebels against God's plan to return the Jewish people to the land of Israel, anybody who rebels, I don't care whether they're Jewish or not, they're not going. Anybody who gets on board with the plan and helps the Jews go, they might go too. And trust me, when Trump's gone, you're going to want to go. You don't want to be here at the end of this next 8 years. You don't want to be in this country. I'm not sure there is going to be a country. There'll be something that's not going to look like this. It's not going to be America. It's not going to be the United States that we know. Okay. Once again, America's Jubilee. If you like Trump, this is a time of Jubilee, a time of restoration, of law and order to America, not lawlessness. Okay, this is a time of restoration. Jubilee is about restoration. If you like Trump, this is a time of restoration of law and order to America, not lawlessness. After 8 years of Obama, we are seeing sheriffs, mayors, state reps, state senators defy the president on sanctuary cities. 1 John 3:4 says, "Sin is transgression of the law, of the Torah." Trump didn't make any immigration laws. They're already on the books. Even the law that gives him the right to decide who can enter the U.S. is being challenged in court. It's a statute written by Congress giving the president the right to decide who, anybody he wants to, any people, any race that he decides, that he deems unfit to come into this country, he has the right to say you're not allowed, and the courts are fighting him on it. They don't have the power. I don't know why he's letting them get away with it. I would just ignore them. Because the law says he has the right. Trump didn't make any immigration laws. They're already on the books. Even the law that gives him the right to decide who can enter the U.S. that is being challenged in court. Trump is just trying to enforce laws that have existed some for hundreds of years. He's just enforcing the law. But many in government are rebelling and resisting him. This is lawlessness. All this sanctuary city. Now, don't get me wrong. Yo quiero hispanos. Yo hablo español. Yo era vendedor de la Goya. Yo estudié en la universidad. Español era mi concentración. Yo viví en Madrid, en España. Yo tengo amigos de América del Sur y Latinoamérica. Tú sabes, I'm very pro Hispanic. I'm very pro-Hispanic, okay? Very pro-Latino. But I'm very against illegal immigration. I'm very against criminal aliens in this country. I believe if you're going to come to America, you should come the way my ancestors did, your ancestors did, legally. Get your green card, go through the process, come in the door the right way. Why? Because if you come in illegally, you bring bondage. Sin is transgression of the law. And when we break the law, turn to Romans 13 for a second. I'm almost done. Turn to Romans 13. People don't get this. And especially unbelievers don't get this. Romans 13:1. If I speak with the tongues of men, that's Corinthians, I'm sorry. Romans 13:1. Okay. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. He who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Okay, turn to 1 John 3. So people who rebel against God, Trump is God's, I believe he's God's anointed leader. God said that Cyrus was his anointed. Cyrus was a Gentile Persian king who didn't know the Lord in Ezra chapter 1. And he sent the Jews back. He says, even though Cyrus doesn't know me, he prophesied in Isaiah 45. God's prophesied 150, 175 years before Cyrus that Cyrus would come and build the temple of the Jews. Even though Cyrus doesn't know me, he says, he'll do my work. And Cyrus did. And God said he was his Messiah, his anointed. Saul was God's anointed. David said, "Don't strike the Lord's anointed." He warned his men, "Don't kill Saul. He's the Lord's anointed." Amen. So I'd say anointed, Messiah. The word anointed means Messiah, like with a little M, okay? As opposed to the big one, the big Messiah, right? But Trump is God's Messiah. He's his anointed. He's our leader. And so, yeah, I got news for you. So is Obama. God said to me, stop fighting Obama. I used to, people used to pray against Obama, and they used to, speak against Obama, whatever. God says, he's my man. I put him in there. Don't fight it. You're not going to get anywhere. You know what? After 8 years of Obama, never got anywhere. Did you? You can complain, call your senators, pray all you want, and complain. Nothing changed. Except the presidency. Right? We've got a new president. 1 John 3:4. Okay. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Say that again. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So when you have senators and mayors, state senators and state reps and mayors and sheriffs and chiefs of police of cities defying the federal government and saying, we're going to create sanctuary cities and we're not going to listen to you and we're not going to hand over illegal people who entered this country illegally and committed crimes, that's the one they always forget in the news media. They always say, hand over illegal aliens. They always forget to say the criminal part. Trump's not going after 11 million. He's not sweeping the nation. gathering up 11 million Hispanics and throwing them out of the country. He's getting felons, people who wrote bad checks, fraud, people who committed drug felonies, criminals, gangbangers, murderers, rapists. Those are the people that Trump is rounding up and sending home. Capiche? That's who he's sending home. He's not trying, he's not bothering with the person, you know, at this point anyway. I won't say he's not going to, but he's not bothering with the average person who's living his life, paying taxes, working as a dishwasher, in a Chinese restaurant, trying to make a living, you know, okay? But the point is, when we break the law, and when we break the law to protect lawbreakers, we bring a curse on ourselves in the spirit world. When you break the law, okay, if you commit adultery in your marriage, you've broken God's law. And you bring a curse on yourself. You bring a curse on your family. You can destroy your family. You can cause divorce. You can cause, poverty. Okay, you bring curse, not blessing, on your family when you commit adultery. How many of you have seen it in life, whether it's family or friends? If you've seen the results of it, and the destruction it causes, raise your hand. If you've seen what adultery does, okay, drugs. How many of you have seen the effects of drugs on people's lives and how it destroys lives? People sell drugs, go to jail. If you've seen the effects of what drugs does and selling drugs and taking drugs, the curse that it brings, and alcoholism, you know, there's many crimes, you know, that sin, stealing, people who steal, Bernie Madoff, you know, there's still people suffering tremendously. Somebody in our congregation claims to have lost $250,000 of their pension because it was under a fund that was controlled by Bernie Madoff. And I can't verify that, but that's what this person claims. They're not here today. But anyway, so, you know, sin, if you sin, you tie God's hands from blessing you. And if a city sins and says, we're going to be a sanctuary city and take this, Mr. Trump, the whole city's under a curse. Spiritually. It brings fear. It brings rape, murder, lawlessness, crime. You know, there's so much crime in Maryland that the population has gone from over 1 million to 600,000 in the last 10 years. People are leaving because there's so much crime. Chicago, there's been more murders in Chicago. More people have died in Chicago than have died in the Iraq War. More people have died in Chicago and in the streets of Chicago in shootings than have died in the Iraq War. Americans, it's amazing the curse that's on that city. It's a spiritual curse that manifests in the natural. There's curses over this city. There's curses of religion, spirits of religion over this city. There's spirits familiar. There's witchcraft. There's rebellion in this city. There's all kinds of things holding people in bondage in this city. There's a lot of junk that keep this city from being free spiritually. You have to see it with spirit. But if you don't know the Lord, you can't even get to the plate. If you don't know the Lord, you're not going to see it. Okay? I know people that say to me, they say, they go to a church where they go to a church and they're unhappy about going to this church because the mother church of the church they go to has, I think, accepted homosexuals in the pulpit and has turned against Israel and is divesting from Israel and boycotting Israel. And they're really upset and torn. Should we leave the church? What should we do? But they can't leave the church. I just can't leave the church because my family started the church 120 years ago, and I'm stuck there because of familiar spirits. I'm in bondage. When God's saying, get the hell out of there. Get out. Come out of her, my people. But they're stuck in religion. They're stuck because, and you know, why do I go where I go? Because Mamaw went there. Papaw went there. And their Papaw and their Mamaw and so on and so forth. And that's why they go. It's truth. Man, wake up, people. There's so many people sitting in churches that don't even know the Lord. Good preaching, Rabbi. Isaiah 1:18 and 19. Isaiah 1:18 and 19. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Isaiah 1:18 9. Isaiah 1:18-20. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You see, rebellion is a sin that is so common. People rebel against authority. It is so American. It is so American to rebel against the governing authorities. It's just common. And people think it's no big deal. What's the guy that runs the Senate on the Democrat side? Schumer. I mean, he is stirring up the Democrats. Don't vote anything Trump does. He is such a rebel. Man, he's going to get it. Not, you know, God's going to get him. They're destroying the Senate. They're destroying the government. They're bringing a curse on this country. God forgive him. So Trump didn't make any immigration laws. He's just trying to enforce them that have existed for hundreds of years, some of them. But many in government are rebelling and resisting him. This is lawlessness, and it is sin. It brings cities and states under bondage, brings poverty, crime, and fear. But obedience to God's governing authorities in Romans 13 brings grace, blessing, and peace. Trump is trying to protect American citizens, you and me, from crime and terrorism. He says he's not against immigration as long as it's through legal channels. When we break our own laws, we bring ourselves into bondage and sin. People who discern things of the Spirit understand this and see that Trump is a Jubilee president trying to restore. It's all about restoration. Law and order, jobs and prosperity for legal American citizens. That is what biblical Jubilee is about, making the poor wealthy again. We're seeing Americans steal for the first time since Allentown and Bethlehem Steel went out of business in the 1980s. Remember the Pittsburgh Steelers were so big in the 70s? You weren't even born. when Terry Bradshaw and Mean Joe Green and who else was on the team? Franco Harris and there were other guys too. There, it was amazing. The Steelers were so good back in the days when they made steel in Pennsylvania, but they don't make it anymore. But now they're starting to make it again, you know. And coal is going to come back a little bit. It may never come back the way it went, but it's coming back, you know, coal. God is, this is a time of restoration. We live in a time of jubilee. Praise God. God wants to restore your life. Say, God wants to restore my life. Hallelujah. People who discern things of the Spirit understand this and see that Trump is a jubilee president trying to restore law and order, jobs, prosperity for legal American citizens. Those who fight President Trump are fighting God's anointed. You can disagree, but if you do a study, you will see that all authorities and governing officials come from God, even Cyrus, a Persian king who was God's anointed. Conclusion, what do you believe? I don't think it's a coincidence in this year of Jubilee that God gave America a president named Trump. I don't think it's a coincidence. Is he perfect? Far from it. But neither was Moses, David, the kings of England, Churchill, FDR, or Kennedy. Maybe Bill Clinton was close. God uses very imperfect people to lead nations. Together with Trump, Israel will experience restoration. Even America is experiencing restoration. Coal, steel, military manufacturing, bringing back jobs. Once thriving cities that are now dead, like Detroit, will thrive again. But we only have an 8-year window. During that time, Trump's enemies will grow more violent. Protests will turn into attacks and bombings. Muslim cell groups will become active. And anti-Semitism will rise in America. Why? Because it's time to restore the Jewish people and many Christians to Israel to come home. And Israel has to look more attractive than the U.S. for the Jewish people to want to go. Like Europe, terrorist attacks are causing Jews to return to Israel. This is all part of God's plan. The same will happen here. The Jubilee is unfolding before our eyes for those who have eyes to see. Please stand. I want to bless you. So, just like Passover, Passover of Moses, it said, in the fullness of time, God sent his son into the world to fulfill Passover. But that same son said, this Passover will not be fulfilled until I fulfill it, till I drink this cup with you in the kingdom, or till I eat it again. If you read Luke 22, he says it's not fulfilled. So even though it was fulfilled when he came, he said it's still not fulfilled. What did he mean? I guess we'll find out. Same thing with Jubilee. In the fullness of time, the Jubilee of Moses, just like the Lamb of Moses, the Passover of Moses, the Old Testament Jubilee, will be fulfilled. There's a day. Everybody say there's a day. Pentecost was that day when that Jubilee was fulfilled. The 50th day. Acts chapter 2. That was the big first fulfillment, okay? But God, the resurrection brought the spirit of Jubilee to you and me. The spirit of restoration is available to you, not just in the 50th year, but the spirit of restoration, the spirit of Jubilee is available to you now, all the time. It's not bound by a city, just like Jesus was with the woman by the well. He said, "A woman, a time is coming when people will worship me, not just on this mountain or in Jerusalem, but all over the world." Right? Well, the spirit of Jubilee is there's a time coming when you don't have to just wait 50 years. You just have to believe in the power of the resurrection. Amen? People get healed all the time. You got healed on your back after getting hit by a cement mixer with 1,200 pounds of concrete in the chute, knocked you on your on your booty. 1,200 pound concrete chute from a cement mixer hit him and dragged him across the foundation that he was digging, or you know, you were what? Pouring, and landed on his chest. And this man threw that thing off his chest, 1,200 pounds, and he hurt his back. He came here on a Sabbath, one Sabbath, and you know what happened? God healed him. How's your back? That wasn't Pentecost, was it? It's just Shabbat. Praise the Lord. The spirit of restoration is available to you, all you who need it. Call to me and I will answer you and show you the great and mighty things that you do not know. Just cry out to the Lord. Whatever you need restoration. I cry out to the Lord. I don't even know the deep things in my heart. But God, I'll tell you one thing. I'll give you a praise report. God's restoring my health. Amen. I had a blood test. For those that watching on the video, I'm getting healed of cancer, of leukemia. And in the last month, two of my counts went into normal range. They look at three counts. Two of the main counts, my white cells and my but two of the main counts are in normal range. They're low normal, but they're normal. The third count is on its way up. Once my immunity goes up, it's going to destroy the cancer. The stronger my immune system gets, it's going to destroy the cancer. I'm using essential oils. I'm taking essential oils. I'm putting essential oils on. That's what God gave me to heal my immune system. Amen? That's what God brought me, because I cried out. He's restoring my health. God will restore you. I cried out to the Lord the other day. I said, Lord, there's things inside me. I just, you know, I've been waiting for years. Bring them to pass. I don't even know what they are. There's just stuff inside me. I know it has to come out. I don't even know what it is. I just know it's there. Cry out to Him. You know? In your quiet time, here, wherever. When the Spirit moves you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yisem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you shalom, give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Shabbat shalom, everyone. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. And greet your neighbors. And I think there's food over there in the fellowship hall. If anybody would like something to eat, people brought food. And so, manja. Manja.